Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 8. Matthew in chapter 8. On Sunday nights, we've been going through and teaching on the teachings of Christ. And so important that we understand exactly what Jesus Christ has presented to us for this New Testament church age. As he was discipling his disciples and training and teaching them, then he is was presenting it for all of us throughout this New Testament church age. And so we have been teaching the teachings of Christ now, and we're into the end of the second year of his public ministry, so there's been so much already. Tonight we're going to be looking at something that is very powerful, and we only have this one message because of what he's given to us here. Now, a few years ago, I preached a series on the spiritual kingdom. And to understand the spiritual kingdom, you first of all have to study angelology. Angelology is what the Bible reveals to us about angels and the spiritual realm of things. And once you understand angelology, then you are ready to understand demonology, because there are the fallen angels that followed after Lucifer and the spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is something that there is a spiritual battle that takes place in our lives every day. Even if you don't fully understand it, it's still there. There is a spiritual battle. Before you ever lose a physical battle, you've already lost a spiritual battle. If you want to win the physical battles, then you need to learn how to win the spiritual battles, because it's first and foremost a spiritual warfare, and that carries into a physical kingdom of life. And so tonight we're looking at this. Jesus wanted to make sure that he presented this to the disciples, and he gave them some insight as to what was taking place in Gadara. Last week we looked at on the ship, the winds and the waves obeyed his very voice. And all the disciples marveled at Christ and his power to control the winds and the waves. They will also marvel after studying this next event that he wanted to take them through to help them to understand demon possession. And so here in Matthew chapter 8, if you would go ahead and stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 28 down to verse 34. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Thou art come hither to torment us before the time. And there was a good way off from them, and herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, we do love you, Lord, and thank you again for, Lord, just your church and the opportunities we have to assemble ourselves together in your presence in your church. Thank you for the precious holy scriptures that have been preserved by an almighty God for all believers to be able to be strengthened by. And I pray tonight, God, that you would just work through this service tonight, that you would illuminate our hearts and our minds to the understanding of this passage of scripture, that we would learn what you would have us to learn and be able to win those spiritual battles as we face on a daily basis. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, Jesus takes them to Gadara. He knew what was in Gadara. He knew exactly what his disciples would need to learn before he would depart, and preparing them to fight spiritual warfare and understanding the reality of the devil and his demons. And so we find here that he takes them to Gadara, and as soon as they get to Gadara, we find in Matthew's account, he reveals two coming out from the tombs that were possessed with demons. Now, in Mark's account and Luke's account, it only focuses on one, that there were many there. This was known as a very dark, spiritually oppressed, demonic area that Jesus took them to. And so we find here that Matthew addresses two, and then we look at the other two, and it breaks it down to help us understand this one demoniac that we'll be looking at tonight. Demon possession, although very real, was more prevalent in the days of the Bible, more prevalent in times past than it is in society today. Now, that doesn't mean that Satan has any less power than what he had. There's no less demons than what they were, okay? It doesn't mean that. It means that there's not as many demon possessions because of the teachings of Christ and how the teachings of Christ have impacted the entire world that we live in. And so the first thing is the reason that we don't have as many demon possessions today is because we have the completion of the Word of God. They didn't have that in Bible days. They had the Old Testament. When Jesus came, he fulfilled that, and he presented New Testament. They didn't have churches as we have today. They didn't have the Bible as we have today. And so, so they were a little bit more prevalent in society. 2,000 years ago, Jesus brought to us the completion of the Word of God. And he established New Testament Christianity, which has continued to impact the world. We mentioned even this morning about how that the testimony of the disciples and the martyrs, they were willing to die for their faith, and how that impacted the world and impacted the Roman government, which under Constantine, the emperor of Rome, back in 300 AD, we find that he was so impressed by the disciples and those that had claimed Christianity, even under the great persecution of Christianity, that he adopted Christianity as the state religion of Rome under the Roman Empire. And so from that, Christianity spread throughout the Roman Empire, to Europe, then into Asia, into Africa, into England and Wales. And then eventually, in 1776, the establishing of the United States of America, the Christianity was overwhelmingly the influence that has influenced this great nation. And this great nation has impacted the world with Christian principles, with the light of Christ. Our calendar is filled with those dates that reveal the coming of Christ and the establishment of Christian holidays, if you will, the birth of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's so much there that we can look back in just to understand that Christianity has impacted the world, and because of the impact of Christianity, then less people will have yielded themselves to paganism, and that's what they have to do in order to be able to have a demon possession. And we'll get into a little bit more of that in just a few minutes here. But that's why it's not as prevalent today. And then once a person gets saved, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you cannot be possessed, demon possessed. Because you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. When you receive Jesus Christ, amen, you receive a sealing, being sealed by the Spirit of God who comes within you and lives within you, His Spirit, our Spirit, bearing witness with His Spirit for the rest of your life. As long as you live, then you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and you're sealed to that day of redemption, the Bible says. So there's so much there concerning when people get saved, they cannot be demon possessed, although they can be demon oppressed. And sometimes the effects are somewhat the same, but that person cannot be possessed. Now, over in the book of James in chapter 4, again, we find Jesus is introducing the disciples to the maniac of Gadara, which was a demoniac. There was others there, and we're going to be studying that in just a minute as far as how he addressed him. But over in the book of James, and of course, Ephesians in chapter 6 reveals to us the spiritual battles that we fight on a daily basis, and those battles are fought first, as I said earlier. But James chapter 4 and verse 7 says this, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, and resist the devil." For a person to be demon-possessed means that he has not resisted the devil. Matter of fact, in order to be demon-possessed, you have to yield to an evil spirit. Because you have a free will. And as a free will that God has given to us, Satan can't make you do anything until you have totally surrendered to him. And then he can control you. He will draw nigh to you. But submit yourselves therefore to God as you draw nigh to him. And then you have the power and the strength to resist the devil. And when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. That's greater is he that is within you than he's in the world. You can live a victorious Christian life and you can overcome any kind of demonic influences that might come into your life. You can win any spiritual battle that you are facing if you draw nigh to God. And that's what the Spirit of God who dwells within you was going to try to get you to do that, is just to draw nigh to God and resist the devil, and Satan will flee. Over in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 4, and you can write some of these verses down. Again, this is not an in-depth study. It is something that has to do with Jesus presenting in the teachings of the demoniac to the disciples, and that's what we're really looking at. But with that in mind, we need to be aware of spiritual warfare. But in 1 Timothy in chapter 4, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Seducing spirits, that means that Satan is going to try to persuade your thinking. He's going to try to get you to turn from the teachings of Christ to the doctrines of devils, which is Antichrist. A lot of times we don't, and I've hit on this here recently because we're facing it a lot today, but Antichrist is just simply those that are not in agreement with the teachings of Christ. They're anti whatever Jesus Christ taught. They're anti this Bible right here. When it comes to morality, when it comes to truth of where we came from, our existence. And if you don't have the basic beliefs in God as a creator God, the designer of humanity, then you're going to fall victim to these seducing spirits and be led into a direction of the doctrines that are not of God, is not of God, it's of the devil. That's what the Bible reveals to us. A person becomes possessed with a demon by yielding to that spirit of evil. Now, before demon possession, there's a progression. The progression that Satan uses is, first of all, darkness. Darkness. There were the dark ages, a very dark time in human history. We don't have time to go into all that. But darkness is without the truth and the light of Jesus Christ, without the truth and the light of an almighty God. So when you turn away from that, you're turning away from the light that Jesus revealed himself to be the light of the world. The church is to be the light of the world. Believers are to be the light of the world, because we are going to help people to understand who God is and the truths of the Bible. But when people reject the light, then they are going to live in darkness. And the first thing that you'll do when you live in darkness is you'll yield to sin. You won't see it as sin. You won't look and study the scriptures to know what is righteous and what is unrighteous. What is light and what is darkness. And so sin is the very beginning of demon possession. You're in darkness and you're yielding to darkness and you're rejecting the light. From sin, there progresses into habitual sin. Habitual sin is just like something that you do that you form a habit of doing it. Anybody have habits that you want to change, maybe? How do you come by a habit? You repeat the same thing over and over again. And the more you repeat it, the more it becomes part of your existence. And so it becomes habitual. When a person yields to sin, he's yielding to influences, demonic influences, spiritual influences that are not of God. And they're yielding because they're in darkness and not the light. And the more you yield to that sin, can I tell you, it'll take you farther than what you want to go. It'll do more damage than what you could ever think it would do. And it becomes habitual. Now, you still, it's a habit. But if you don't break the habit, it will become a stronghold. A stronghold is, it controls me. I had the choice whether or not to yield to it. I continued to yield to it. It became habitual, and I could back off every now and then and not do it, but eventually I would go back to it and then eventually become a stronghold. It's like an addict. Because you've allowed it to go beyond habitual, now it controls you instead of you control it, and it somewhat controls your life. See, where addicts will, especially if it's drug addiction to drugs and alcohol, they'll do whatever to be able to get the money to buy their drugs. They'll rob from parents. They'll do whatever they need to do to feed their addiction. The very same way with sin. It becomes a stronghold. And the next thing is yielding your will to that of an influence that you might even think is an angel of light, but is totally different from the Word of God. And Satan himself can reveal himself as an angel of light, even in darkness. And once you go beyond a stronghold, it becomes, if you're lost, a possession, a demonic possession. If you're saved and are running from God, it becomes an oppression, where it's still to the place where it is controlling you. And you have hardened your heart to the Holy Spirit of God, and you have grieved the Holy Spirit of God to such a way that you can't even sense his conviction any longer. That is the progression of demonic possession. Now, Jesus gives us a little bit of insight as far as how some of this plays out. A person becomes possessed with a demon, responds a lot of different ways, but it's all in darkness. If you look there with me to Matthew chapter 8, our text here in verse 28, the Bible says, there was two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. They were exceeding fierce. In the book of Mark in chapter 5, we find this account in Mark's gospel. And this is what Mark says about it. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 2, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, again, Mark focuses on just this one demoniac. There are many demoniacs in this land, in this area, who had his dwelling among the tombs. So they want to dwell outside the light. They don't have a natural desire for natural things. Their desires become very unnatural. And they dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Sometimes they can have a little bit of extra ungodly strength to certain points of doing some things supernatural. This man would have been very strong in being able to break the chains that they had, and no man could tame him. Didn't want to listen to anybody. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. You know, that's something that takes place a lot in society today. And that is of the devil. That is an influence of evil that leads somebody to do such things. Luke's account over there in Luke in chapter 8. In Luke in chapter 8, we find here some of the same, but in verse 27, when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time and wore no clothes. It's kind of lifestyle, that of immorality and nudity and ungodliness. Neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Many different responses. Again, we don't have time to go into it, but I want you to just understand what the devil can do when a person yields to an ungodly, evil spirit. It takes them out of the light of God's word and out of the ways that God would have us to live, and it takes us into a different lifestyle. We need to be able to see where the lifestyle comes from, in order to help people that have issues with ungodly, unbiblical, unnatural lifestyles. Yeah. This is what Jesus is presenting. Jesus' response with the disciples with him now addressing this demoniac back over in Matthew chapter 8. Everybody following me tonight? It's just Bible. It's just reality. Like I said, you don't have to fear the devil. Amen. Greater is he that is within you. You have to want to and see the need to stay in the light. Because in the light, I've often said Satan in the dark is the most powerful creature you'll ever come up against. In the dark, he's that serpent ready to devour. But you bring that serpent in the light of God's word, he's a serpent with his head crushed. Jesus crushed the head of the serpent. I don't know about you, but a snake with his head crushed can't hurt me. He wants me to be afraid of him, but he doesn't have any venom. He doesn't have any fangs. He's got his head crushed. When you see the devil in the light of God's word, you don't have to fear the devil. You don't have to be influenced by the devil. You want to stay in the light because in the light, Satan is a defeated creature. Jesus Christ defeated Satan. He defeated death and hell. And he offers us victory. If Satan can keep you blinded to the battle that you're fighting, is it being physical instead of spiritual, he'll continue to win the battle. But when you're aware of the darkness and you're aware of the spiritual battles, then you can win the spiritual battles by staying in the light and yielding to the presence of God. This right here, it's a sword. It slays spiritual demons. It is the key to spiritual victory over sin, death, and the grave. That's powerful stuff. Matthew chapter 8, go back there with me, verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" He knows they're going to be cast into a devil's hell someday. And there was a good way off from them and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out," and that's exactly what he was going to do. He was going to overcome the demons and cast the demons out of this man. "Suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." Now, it's important to understand the herd of swine was a sin in the land. Jews were not supposed to even touch the swine. They were raising the swine to feed the Roman soldiers, and that was their livelihood, and it was outside the will of God for their lives. So Jesus is going to take care of two stones, two birds with one stone, if you will. He's going to get rid of the demons out of the man, and he's going to get rid of the swine, the sin of the land. And he said, "Sounds good to me, go." He knew exactly what would happen. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. See, now the disciples had just experienced Jesus having power over demons, which they needed that because they would be approached. They would have temptation. They would fight spiritual battles. If they were going to win them, then they would have to understand that in the light, I'm victorious. I can overcome any spiritual battle that I face. Amen. Can I tell you that's exactly what God would have us to learn today? Demon possession is not as prevalent, the possession part, but demon influences are very prevalent today. and becoming more and more prevalent in the United States of America, because we are leaving the light and living in darkness. And there's going to be more and more spiritual battles fought because of the darkness. Yeah. Luke in chapter 8, I love it when it's the same account is found in more than one of the Gospels, and you can study both and learn more. In Luke in chapter 8 and verse 28 and verse 29, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." This is the demons inside of this demoniac that came to Jesus. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. He commanded the unclean spirit. The disciples seen that. The people saw that. And the demons would come out and go into the herd of swine. He said, for oftentimes he called him and he was kept bound with chains and fetters and brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Now Jesus commanded the demon to depart from that man. He rebuked the demons. Jesus went there to present victory to the disciples, but he also went there to set this man free. He knew what was taking place. Satan had a desire to control and to kill and to steal this man, but Jesus had a desire to help this man. After the demons were gone, we see the free will of this man. And there in Luke in chapter 8, verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Of his own free will. Yeah. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. Amen. Yeah. And in his right mind, had clear thinking. Yeah. Wow. I believe at some point this man had yielded to this evil spirit, but possibly because of the darkness that he was experiencing around him. I don't think he would have if he had known about Christ. And I believe that's why Jesus went there, to give this man an opportunity to live for Christ. Over in Mark's account, now that we find this man without the demons and sitting at the feet of Jesus, there was a desire within this man that Jesus knew that was there. In Mark in chapter 5, verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. I love this because this man who was a demoniac, because he had yielded, because he possibly didn't even understand the darkness, and Jesus loved him. Jesus went to him. He cast out the devils, gave this man an opportunity to put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then he wanted to serve him. He said, "Let me go to be one of your disciples. I'll possibly leave all and lay down my life for you if that's what you want me to do." But the Bible says, if you read on there, verse 19, when he was coming to the ship, he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him and that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, and this is important, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." There's many others like you that are going to yield to a demonic spirit because they don't know Jesus. They don't know the truth. They're living in darkness, and they need to come to the light. Wow. Not all are called to full-time ministry, but all are commissioned to serve as witnesses. Amen. He would do more good for the cause of Christ staying in his hometown and having a witness for Christ amongst others that were possibly on the verge of yielding to an evil spirit themselves. Go back with me to our text in Mark in chapter 8. The people's response, every time I read this, I always think, how could that be? The people's response and they that kept them, the pigs, and went their way into the city and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. He just performed a miracle of casting out demons, of giving this man a new life. And the people saw that. And yet the people's response was asking him to leave. Mark chapter 5 helps us to give even a better understanding of this, and we're going to be done here. But Mark chapter 5, verse 13. You see, the Jews were still under the Old Testament law. Jesus had not fulfilled the Old Testament law yet, so they were still under the Old Testament law. And the Old Testament law prohibited Jews from even touching swine. It was an unclean animal. They weren't to eat nor even touch the swine. But in this dark, demoniac area, demon-possessed area, one of the reasons that they were so dark was that they had turned against the laws of God. And they were raising the swine to be able to sell to the Romans. Maybe justify it in their own hearts and minds, saying, well, we're not eating the swine. We're not eating the pork. We're not eating the bacon. But they were instructed not to touch the swine. Here in chapter 5, in Mark in chapter 5, and look at verse 13, and we're done here. But and forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. 2,000 of the swine. And they that fed the swine fled and told it to the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. They were more concerned about the swine than they were about the demoniac being healed. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. What were they afraid of? They were afraid of losing their money. They had a clear choice before them. They had Jesus, and they could see what Jesus offered. He offered them a demonic-free land, a land that people could love and serve God. And they looked. If they had that, then they had to look on the other side. They couldn't have the swine. Jesus, or darkness? Jesus living by the laws of God, or the swine? They preferred to live with the demoniacs over living with and by the laws of God. They chose the pigs over Christ. Because they couldn't have both. I know some that choose alcohol over Christianity. And because they don't want to give up alcohol, they turn away from the teachings of Christ. They don't want to have a moral lifestyle, and so they turn away from the teachings of Christ to the teachings of the world. You can't have both. You can't live in sin and have a fellowship with God. You're either going to have to choose Christ or you choose the swine. Can't believe. There's actually people who will choose the swine over a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can't have it both. There's spiritual warfare. Satan is going to try to tempt you. He's going to try to get us to turn to the world and turn to the darkness. As we turn to the darkness, you lose sight of the light. You can't have both. You can't serve God and mammon. You got to choose. I trust every one of the disciples chose Christ. And I trust that as we read this and we understand this and we apply it to our lives today, we likewise will choose Christ over any sin. I want the blessings of God, even at the expense of the blessings of man. For greater is he that is within you, if you have Christ, than he that's in the world. If I could have every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. What a powerful lesson that Jesus presented to the disciples, and they would need that. Because the old devil would tempt them and try a lot of things to try to get them to denounce Christ. Even with the temptation of Christ, the devil offered him so many things. I tell you, you're going to be tempted. But I trust that you'll choose Christ over the temptations of the world. Choose light instead of darkness. Father, we bow before you tonight. Love you, the Lord, and thank you for the truth of the word. Thank you for this example of this demoniac and the disciples going to Gadara so that they could view this and understand and learn from all that took place there. No doubt it would come back to strengthen them. And I trust, God, that this story and this account will strengthen us to know that we are still battling spiritual warfare even today. Maybe not the demon possession as much, but there is a spiritual warfare that demands us to choose light or darkness. Help us to continue to choose the light. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.